We now continue our songful study of Kapitel Kufyotes, Psalm 1
and 19. We're in the midst of the verses that correspond to the letter Kuf. Today's class is part 3 of that mini-series on the letter Kuf. We've learned previously about David HaMelech calling out. Verse 145, verse 146 begin with the term Kara. David calls forth. Verse 146, 147, Kidamti, there David HaMelech speaks about preceding all others by rising while it is still night. Part 3 is a continuation because verse 148 also begins with a similar verb. Although this verb describes David HaMelech's eyes, if you will. Let's take a look inside our Tillims. Kufyotes, Pasuk Kuf Memches, verse 148. Kidmu Einai Ashmurois. Literally, this translates as, my eyes preceded. So there's something going on prior, before, a preemptive nature being discussed here. David HaMelech says, my eyes preceded Ashmurois, the night watches. And what did he do? Or why was there a reason for his eyes to precede the night watches? Lasiach beimrasecha, so that I may discuss your word or your words. David HaMelech is clearly rising early. This is yet again an emphasis on his unusual rising habits. Very early to rise. In fact, as we're going to study once again today, at midnight. Why would he rise so long before everybody else? Here, David HaMelech emphasizes Lasiach, because there was meaningful speech. There was a discussion. Beimrasecha, with your word. Who was David HaMelech talking to? Who woke up at midnight to have this conversation? Well, what exactly are night watches? And lastly, what does this verse really mean to us, to you and I, who have really no intention of getting up at midnight? The first thing I want to point out is that even in English, sleeping is described with closed eyes. There's a euphemism in English called shut eye. Shut eye means the time you sleep. As a rule, people don't sleep with their eyes open. I open my eyes means I woke up. The part of our body which is most clearly indicative of a waking or conscious state versus a sleeping state is usually closed eyes. Now, it is possible that people close their eyes to be in a state of contemplation, and sometimes you wonder, are they sleeping? But when somebody's eyes are open, we know they're awake, as long as they're alive, that is. David HaMelech says, my eyes opened long before everybody else's. And he emphasizes the notion of ashmurois, of watches. Rashi tells us, ashmurois, plural, this is chatzi halayla. This refers to midnight. Shte ashmurois. There are 12 hours in the day and 12 hours, proverbially speaking, at night, because there are 24 hours or increments of time in a day. Now, to be sure, the only time when the 24 hours or increments are precisely the same amount of time for the day and the night is during the equinox, a short time in the fall and the short time in the spring. Otherwise, the nights get very long in the winter and the daylight hours get short. Conversely, in the summer, the nights get very, very short, and the days get very long. In Judaism, in Torah literature, we have this notion of sha'ot zmaniyot, which means time-bound hours, or timely hours. And that is to say that just as we divide hours into 60 minutes, because when you divide a day into 24 increments, you end up with exactly 60 minutes that are made up of 60 seconds. In the same way that's true, it's also possible to divide a day and a night into 12 increments. Obviously, for most of the year, neither will be precisely 60 minutes. That's called Isha'a Zmani. From a Torah perspective, midday is always going to be, you guessed it, smack in the middle of the day. During the equinox, it'll be at 12 noon. During the summer, it may end up being as late as 1:20. And during the winter, it can go maybe to being something like 11:40. Think of the days of people telling the time by the sun. When was midday? It was always the same time. It was always when the sun was precisely at its apogee. When did the day begin? When the sun rose. When did the day end? When the sun set. So if we take this arc of the heavens and divide them into 12 points, you'll always have midday at the sixth hour. It's just that during the winter, you'll get there a lot more quickly. And during the summer, it'll take much longer. That's called the Sha'a Zmani. Now, if we are to assume that there's always going to be 12 increments of time for the day and for the night, we'll have longer nights and shorter nights, but they'll still be divided into 12 increments. Rashi tells us, Kidmu einai ashmurais, waking at the middle of the watches, before the watches, would be smack in the middle of the night. Why? Rashi says, that's because two watches on one side and two watches on the other. Suppose that night begins at 6 p.m. and day begins at 6 a.m. You got yourself 12 hours. You'd have 6 hours to midnight, and then another 6 hours from midnight till day would break. If you broke each of those halves into half, you'd end up with what we would call four quarters, or four watches. So David HaMelech would rise at midnight, as it says, Chatzot Laila Okum, and we learned that earlier on in our classes when we were doing the letters Ches. David HaMelech would wake at midnight, two watches into the night, with two watches yet remaining. Now that sounds very neat if you are to assume that there are four watches in the night. However, Rashi says, Uladivre ha'omer shalish mishmeres have alayla. From the opinion, which we'll soon take a look in the Gemara and try to have a better grasp on, three watches, not four watches, which means you take 12 hours and instead of dividing them into four increments of 3 hours each, you divide 12 hours into three increments of 4 hours each. Well, in that case, Hayadavid Oimid Vimitase Beshlish Halaila Harishaina. David would wake up after the first third of the night. The Isaac Batira, and he would engage in the study of Torah Ad Chatzot until midnight. Kamaisha Nemar, as it's written, Loshi Lasiach Beimrascha, to discuss your Torah. Umechatzeisul Ahalon, and from midnight onward, Isaac Beshiros Visizbachis. David HaMelech was engaged in singing Hashem's praises. K'moshe Nemar, as we read earlier, Chatzot Laila Okum, I wake up at midnight, Lahodot Lecha, to sing to you. Now, essentially, we have a problem here. And the problem here is that David HaMelech clearly states, my eyes preceded watches. Watches are plural. If we divide the night into four watches, it means David HaMelech woke at midnight. It says that he woke Chatzos Laila Okum Lahodes Lecha, to sing your praises. Well, Lahodes can also mean to acknowledge. And maybe that could be understood or construed as Torah study. And maybe it could be understood or construed as prayer. However, if we are to say that there are only three watches in the night, David HaMelech would have to wake up when there are still two watches left. So Rashi's resolution is he'd wake up 4 hours into the night, which means, and I'm just using this as an example, if the sun goes down at 6, David HaMelech would be up 4 hours later. He slept from 6 to 10. At 10 p.m. he would rise, study Torah until midnight, and then spend the rest of the night engaged in prayerful petition or in songful entreaty. However, if we are to say that the night was essentially divided into four watches, he would rise Ashmurais before the last two watches, which means rise at midnight. He would study Torah, because it says clearly, Lasiach be'imrasecha. Lasiach means meaningful speech. And the meaningful speech here would refer to imrasecha, your words, meaning Hashem's Torah. However, the notion of the song or the praises which David HaMelech discussed in the verse just prior to this one, Kidamti ba'neshef, va'ashaveya, and he was crying out to Hashem, means that David HaMelech would begin his nocturnal schedule first with Torah study that would later move into prayer as the night wore on and day drew closer. Now, just for station identification, I think it will be important for us to take a look at the Gemara, and I want to tell you that not everybody understands this verse precisely as Rashi does. There are others who maintain that David HaMelech always woke at midnight, and there are creative ways in explaining Ashmurais, the plural notion of two watches, if David HaMelech only woke at midnight, when there would be only, well, a watch and a bit, or a watch and 3 hours, a watch and 2 hours, because he's dividing them into increments of four with three watches. One creative way of solving the problem is Ashmurais means not two full watches, but part of a watch and then another. And another creative way of understanding it is that David HaMelech was referring to the fact that other nobility would wake not at dawn, but 2 hours after that, which would make up for the missing hours, and that means David HaMelech would rise at midnight. I hope I'm not confusing you. Rashi does not learn that way. Rashi says that if we say that there are three watches in the night, Ashmurais are night watches, and those night watches necessarily include the concept of midnight onward, which would be focused on Hashem's, on prayer towards Hashem, and the 2 hours prior to midnight, after a third of the night, after a 4 hour rest, David HaMelech would first begin with the study of Torah from what we would call 10 p.m. I also want to point out to you that this notion of watches, which Rashi says refers to different shifts of malachim, of angels who sing Hashem's praises during the course of the night, that they would be either four shifts or three shifts, and that's why we call them watches. But there was, at least in antiquity, in military terms, there were these night watches where there would be a changing of the guard. And the custom of Greek military maneuvers were that there were three watches during the night. But the Romans had a different system. They had four watches. So the question was whether the night watches or watch people would be in for 4 hour shifts or 3 hour shifts, depending if it was four watches or three watches. At any rate, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos on page 3, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Arba Mishmarais Have Halayla. The night is divided up into four increments of time, or four watches. This is Divri Rebbe, those are the words of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the redactor of the Mishnah. Rabbi Nosson had a different opinion, and that was Shalosh, that there are only three. And the Gemara will begin to query or quiz the two different opinions based on the very verses we find in Tehillim, including this particular verse. We ask, what is Rebbe's reasoning? And Rebbe speaks about a pasuk in the book of Judges that talks about Gidon and his people being up at Rosh Ashmurat Hatichona, the middle watch. Well, he says the middle watch indicates that there's a watch before and a watch later. And so Rabbi Nosson says, it's pretty clear, there are three watches at night. Rebbe defends his position, and he says it could be one of the middle watches, meaning there was a watch that began the night, there's a watch that ends the night, and then there are two in the middle. Rabbi Nassim parries and he says, it doesn't say tichona shebetichona, the middle of the middle, it says the middle, singular. At any rate, they clearly understand that verse differently. But then the Gemara says, why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that there are four heavenly watches at night? And the Gemara says, well, because David HaMelech says in verse 62 of the Psalm, Chatzos laila akum lahoides lecha, I wake at midnight to sing your praises. And then we have our verse, Kidmu einai ashmurot, my eyes preceded the night watches, plural. Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, see that? He woke up at midnight with two watches to go. How does that work? Ha-ketzad, arba mishmeres. There must be that the night is divided into four increments or four shifts, not three. Rabbi Nassim defends his position, and he says he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, and that has to do with the notion of when you can read the Shema in the morning, and you can read the Shema in the morning, what we call 3 hours after dawn. And the reason is because Derech Melachim Lamed, because kings would wake late. And because they would wake late, essentially you do have two watches. Even if each watch is made of 4 hours, you do have two watches, not till dawn, but till the time when everybody else is waking. So you have a 4 hour watch, and that would take you from midnight all the way to 4 a.m. And then you'd have another 2 hours, which would take you into dawn at 6. And then another 2 hours, which would take you into when, well, kings are sleeping until. And so there's this notion that even though it isn't, this is the way the Shagas Aryeh understands the Gemara, even though it isn't an actual technical watch, it means David HaMelech is saying, I woke before the kings. I woke before other nobility. And then there's a discussion whether this means Jewish kings or not Jewish kings. I should tell you that the Meiri understands this verse entirely within that frame. He says, David HaMelech woke the watches. His eyes preceded the night watches. And he was lasiach b'imrasecha. The Meiri begins by commenting at the end of the verse. Ritzayin eloimar, a discussion about your word means b'toratcha, your Torah. Ulehidbonim b'nifloesecha, and to contemplate your wonders. Now going back to the beginning of the verse, va'ashmurot, the notion of ashmurot, he says, heim itot hayikitza. These are different waking times. So the Meiri very interestingly maneuvers this away from watches. He says, we don't even have to get into the argument, the discussion between Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yehuda, who are talking about the notion of how the night gets divided into watches. He says, we're not talking about those watches. We're talking about different waking times. Behem Shalosh, he says, there are three. Some people wake at midnight. Some people wake at dawn. And some people sleep in. And so he says, therefore, you have people who are near besof hashmura rishon, at the end of the first watch. The end of the first watch would be a third of the night. And he says he would wake up and he would study Torah. So the Meiri's approach to begin with is, we're speaking here about three watches. David wakes at midnight. There are two watches to go till everybody else wakes up. From the Meiri's perspective, it seems that we speak here not about 12 hours necessarily, but even possibly longer than 12 hours. Because David HaMelech is talking about the times when people wake. So the times when people wake could be midnight, dawn, and then late morning. At any rate, David HaMelech clearly is indicating that he wakes up long, long before everybody else. Interestingly, we have the same idea advanced by Radak, Rabbeinu David Kimchi, who says that the notion of this early rising refers to the Ashmura hi eis hayikitza. This is the time of waking. And there are three times to wake. David HaMelech says that I would get up in the middle of the night, long before everybody else. And that's because he didn't sleep all night. He only slept one third of the night. Two thirds of the night, he would be awake, lasuach ulehizboinen beimras hakel, to discuss, to speak words of Torah and contemplate the greatness of God and the words of Hashem. And Radak adds something interesting. He says, he did this very often when the nights were long. And he says, eight hahakotza ashmurot. This is the notion, not the watch is talked about in the Gemara, not the watch is talked about in, even though the Gemara does bring these verses. Radak says, you don't have to even get into that whole argument. You can actually look at the watches, not as the night watch is discussed, but rather the notion of getting up. Now, it is rather odd. It is rather odd to say this because the Gemara clearly indicates these verses as the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And although the Meiri does bring this notion of a verse in the chapter in the prophecies of Yeshayahu HaNavi that indicate the idea of people being up. Why is an Ashmura called being up? He says, because a night watch person is up all night. So therefore, the Ashmura becomes a time of waking, a waking time. There are different waking times. I suppose that the Meiri and the Radak avoid the controversy of the notion of when David HaMelech rose, or whether it was earlier or later, and they simply say, divide the night into three, he woke at midnight, there's no questions asked here. The problem does develop in the summer when night doesn't fall till what we call maybe 10 o'clock at night, or 9:30 at night. So did David HaMelech sleep only 2 hours a night? That's kind of challenging. Although we heard many times that the Rebbe didn't sleep more than 2 hours a night. That certainly is pushing the limit of most human beings' endurance. And so the Radak adds an interesting word. First of all, it's possible. Like David HaMelech and the Rebbe slept 2 hours. It's eminently possible. But Radak says that this would be Bizman Shahalelot Aruchim, in the times when nights were long. So when nights are long, which means night falls at 6 p.m., David HaMelech actually could get a very normal night's sleep in if he would go to sleep after it was dark and be up at midnight. That wouldn't be even raise eyebrows. It's simply he had a different schedule. He utilized the time when it was dark at night immediately to go to sleep. He would wake up very early, and then he would spend the rest of the night studying Torah, and from there praying to Hashem way, way before anybody else had begun. Now, this notion of David HaMelech rising to study Torah, or to be engaged in Torah, provokes almost like a question in and of itself. Why did he first study Torah and only afterwards pray? What kind of Torah was he studying here? On a very literal level, the Yitzhari explains this as behavior we should try to emulate, even if we don't do it on David's schedule. Listen to what he says. He suggests that the righteous purposely make an effort to rise early. And maybe not the way David HaMelech rose, but purposely will make an effort to rise. And that's because the natural urge of human beings, once they're sleeping, is to remain sleeping. The snooze button is a very, very popular invention. And it has kept people in bed because they can just hit snooze. There are a lot of people who have difficulty falling asleep, and even more people who have difficulty waking early in the morning. And what's that about? Yitzhari says this is a reminder to us of how frail flesh is, how easily the body can give in to its natural inclinations or its desires. And that reminds us of the assistance from Hashem that we need. The Yitzhari says that prayers that are offered at this propitious time when a person forced himself out of bed would be uttered with a mindfulness of how much help we need from Hashem. And as such, prayers recited with greater sincerity. Now, I'd like to note that the Yitzhari's words are interesting and perhaps instructive for us, telling us that a righteously minded yid should wake early, ideally. But here's the thing. Yitzhari does not address the notion of Torah study whatsoever. He only talks about why prayers might be more meaningful when you had to fight your sleep off to get up and do them. Why would David HaMelech have to rise early to study Torah? Why would he have to begin his day with Torah study? Why couldn't he study Torah late into the night? In fact, there are many, many tzaddikim who were known to study Torah almost all night long. In fact, the idea of studying Torah at night is considered to be a critical component of an observant Jewish life. The Talmud tells us, and this is quoted in the context of halacha, that a home where there isn't Torah study at night, where there's, you know, entertainment, but not Torah study, it says eish eichlo. It's consumed by, ravaged by a destructive fire or energy. And the idea of rina, which is songful study, is supposed to happen belaila, at night. A lot of people work during the day. Not everybody has time to study Torah during the day or regular hours. At night, that's the time to study Torah. And traditionally, Jewish people who worked or slaved away all day would study Torah at night. The Bate Medrash were filled in the evenings and in the nights. So why not study Torah at night? Why would David HaMelech seemingly go to sleep early and then wake early in order to study Torah? I'm sure many of you are familiar with Franklin's Almanac, and one of the phrases that he sequestered from somewhere, I don't think he made it up, was early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I don't know if that's true, but David HaMelech clearly seems to follow this line of early to bed and early to rise will make a person wise. That's when he studied Torah. Why? Why the emphasis on waking so early and beginning that day with undisturbed Torah study? So, perhaps to understand this, we're going to be going in some interesting directions. The Sha'arei Chaim tells us, "Ein oimdim b'tfila elamitoich halacha psuka." A person should not engage in prayer before studying some straightforward Torah. And the Sha'arei Chaim says that was the purpose of David HaMelech's early rising to study, because he wanted to precede his prayer with Torah study. This would fit neatly with the Yitzhari's idea. He wanted to fight off his sleep and pray early in the morning. We should try to do that. But in order that the prayers should be efficacious, in order that they should be as prayers should be, Torah study was required preceding the actual prayerful activity. Kidmu eini ashuris la'asich b'mirosecha, says Sha'arei Chaim, is this idea of ein oimdim b'tfila, one does not engage in prayer, ela mitoich, only first by beginning to study Torah. It's interesting that he talks about halacha psuka, he talks about the notion of Torah study, not scriptural Torah study, but Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. And that's interesting because the Chida, in his commentary on Tillim, he has two commentaries on Tillim, the Yosef Tehilos, the first commentary on Tillim, he says that the Arizal wrote that at night one should study Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. And according to the writings of the Arizal, one studies scripture during the day, and night hours are for the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, the Arizal is not necessarily speaking by getting up early. He just says night hours, nocturnal hours, are meant for studying Torah Shebaal Peh. And because they're meant for studying Torah Shebaal Peh, since David HaMelech was an early riser in the middle of the night, it's night. If it's night, he has to be studying Torah Shebaal Peh. So David would review his Mishnah, he would review his oral Torah teachings at night. The Chida says, it's interesting to note that in the Medrash, as well as in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on high, this refers to the 40 days and 40 nights that he spent with Hashem studying and absorbing the essence of Torah, it says, "Kishahoya Moshe Bamorim," when he was learning Torah Shebaal Peh, he knew it was night. There was no sleep for Moshe. And he had no watch or no clock. So how did he know when it was night or when it was day? And the answer was, that depended on the Torah he was being taught. Oral Torah, he knew it was night. Scripture, he knew it was day. The Sif Sikoyanim says, Amira is also known. Speaking, he says, amar, word, speaking, spoken words, are a kinui, are a euphemism for Torah Shebaal Peh. So it really fits very nicely then. We could say that this is the idea of halacha psuka, as the Shaar HaChaim says, and we see that the Arizal clearly states the notion of Torah Shebaal Peh being specific to that those hours, to night hours. That fits with the Midrashic ideas, and it even, as the Sifsi Koyanim points out, fits perfectly with the concept of Amira, L'siach be'imrosecha, the terminology, the verbiage, the specific syntax David HaMelech employs when describing his nocturnal activities. And the Chida goes on to talk about the notion of the importance of praying afterwards, and that's all post-midnight, he says. Which is really interesting, because if we are to follow this line of reasoning, we will then really be where Rashi was when he talks about the three watches. He says that's because David HaMelech would rise before Chatzos, first he would learn Torah, and then from midnight onward, he would begin to study, to pray, to cry out to Hashem. Fits, as they say, perfectly, like it's a very, very precise and exact fit where everything, all the moving pieces seem to come together. And here I would like to introduce you to a totally different idea, a totally different notion about the concept of what David HaMelech was doing when he was studying Torah and praying during the nighttime hours. The Ma'am Loya says that in these psukim, both of these psukim, which describe David HaMelech's praying and Torah study in the middle of the night, he was mekasher midas yoim al midas laila. He fused day and night together. He fused midas laila, the measure of night into the day and day into the night. Now, he does not explain himself, and I'm not certain as to what he means, but here's what I'd like to suggest. There is a very interesting teaching from the Maggid of Mizrich, which is found in his Torah Ur. The Maggid of Mizrich, on page 115, it's entry number 492, says that David HaMelech stated, and this is found in another part of Tehillim, in the 86th Psalm of Tehillim, he said, David HaMelech said, Shamra nafshi ki chasadani, guard my soul because I'm pious. And he quotes the Gemara, which follows the Gemara I just talked to you about, describing the idea of David HaMelech waking up in the middle of the night and how that balances with the different night watches. The Gemara, David says, V'loi chosedani, am I not pious? Shekol malchei mizrach, that all of the kings of the east, umayrev of the west, yesheinim ad sholish shos, they all sleep in till 9 o'clock in the morning. Ba'ani chatzos laila akum, but I would wake up at midnight. And then he goes on, the Gemara goes on to describe things that David HaMelech did to bring about peace between husband and wife, or togetherness. So the Maggid says that what was David HaMelech when he was trying to bring together husbands and wives, this represents the idea of bringing together or bridging different worlds. Zoharically speaking, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, is positively ridiculous. That notion is pure narishkeit. But, zoharically speaking, men and women do have very different kinds of souls. The male soul is metaphorized or a representative of the concept of chachma. The female soul is emblematic of bina. Chachma is a creative burst of energy, an idea. Bina is precise analysis. This is in the realm of intellect. And when we speak about in the realm of emotion, the notion of right-oriented, sometimes seen as aggressive energy, could be chesed, engaging, that's masculine. Gvura, which represents severity or discipline, that's the notion of feminine energy. One is proverbially speaking right and one is left. That represents the idea of chasodim and gvuras. Now, gvura is a severity is a very, very important part of life. Everything can't just go. There needs to be borders. We need to be able to rein things in. We need to be able to limit things. But it also has a harsh element to it, a cutting edge. What we seek ultimately to do is to temper judgment. Not only to temper it, but in fact, it's called to sweeten it. So that we should be judicious, precise, demanding, and exacting, but without the edge, without the harshness. We need din, we need judgment. We need that concept of division. But we want to have it in a sweet way. Night represents the idea of that exacting and precise element of judgment. Day represents the concept of the light that flows freely, the concept of illumination. Light isn't focused unless you create a laser. As a rule, light flows freely. And of course, it can illuminate all kinds of things. Controlled lighting is a very, very exact science, and it's not an easy thing to do. In fact, technology has enabled us to illuminate environments in a very specific way. People who are involved in broadcasting do this all the time. They're playing with light and shadows. Because light, left to its own devices, will simply cast its glow indiscriminately. That indiscriminate nature is, well, emblematic of day. And the night, that's a much, much easier reality to control or to create the direction of light, because the light isn't coming from all directions. You have the opportunity to cast the light in a specific way. The Maggid says that with David HaMelech, the reason we talk about his early rising, in the same breath as his bringing husbands and wives together, is because this represents the notion of being mamtik dinim through chasodim. David HaMelech sweetening what is called severities, divine severity, that's what night represents, with the notion of kindness, a more freewheeling and easygoing, softer kind of approach. Essentially, not only to mitigate the harshness, but in fact to redirect it, sublimate, and transform it, to sweeten it. And so Amtokas HaDinim, he says the notion of dinim are called lyle, lamed yud lamed. However, when we add a hey, he says that sweetens things. It's called lila. Lila is a nice time. Lail is a certain harshness, a setting in of darkness. And he says this is similar to an idea explained elsewhere of the difference between na'ar or na'ara, where the hey makes all the difference. And this is the reason that David HaMelech would wake at midnight. Because al yedei ha'hidoes v'shirim v'tishboches, through his contemplative and songful praises of Hashem, he would be moishech chasodim. He would draw forth kindness. And in doing so, he would be mamtik, he would sweeten the judgment. And that's the idea of, so to speak, once the beginning of the night passes, once we get to midnight, now we're moving towards greater light. The night gets darker from the time the sun sets until midnight. And then, well then, our orbit continues and we're moving towards sunrise or dawn. And so the second half of night, he says, is susceptible to being worked with or changed. That's where we can have the idea of histalkus hadinim, of lyle, and in the end, what's left is the hay. Not the removal of night, but its sweetening. And the Maggid goes on to explain this in great detail, and he says that's why it's connected to hay, because the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet break themselves into five specific sounds, unique sounds, as it says there are hay mitzoyes haper. And so David HaMelech, using his powers of articulation and the words of Hashem, was able to sweeten the judgments or the idea of night. So this is one reason David HaMelech would get up early. From a mystical or spiritual perspective, David HaMelech was essentially trying to engineer the notion of divine severity. This was a very mystical, spiritual kind of pursuit, where David HaMelech was bringing a new flow of God's blessing and divine energy for Am Yisrael. And here is something that focuses less on what David was doing for the world or others, and more with what David was doing for himself, so that he could be a more effective David Melech Yisrael. He could be a Jew who's closer to Hashem. And this, my dear friends, is something every one of us can learn from. The Ma'am Loyaz also goes on to say, Machshava, he says, here we see alluded, hinted at the idea that Machshava harishayna shal ha'adam, that the first thought that a person has in the morning must be one that is faith-filled. Tzricha liyes be'emuna. And if it is punctuated with faith in Hashem, kol hayim kulei hoylech b'derech tov, you set yourself up, so to speak, properly, right in the morning. If your first thoughts are guided, if your first thoughts are focused to Hashem, well, that they call that, you put your best foot forward, start off on your right foot, and from there the day continues. And that, says the Ma'am Loyaz, is the meaning of Kidmu Einai Ashmurais, my eyes preceded the watches. And he says, Im Kidmu Einai B'machshavas Shmira. Ma'am Loyaz now explains the words a little differently. He says, watches meaning, if Kidmu Einai, if I open my eyes or proceed my day with a thought of Shmira, a thought of observance, of guarding. You see, you have to guard things if you want them to be good, righteous, or holy. A few things just to unfold as they might, it's unlikely that they'll turn out to be good. Having your children raise themselves, for example, is not a particularly good idea. Assuming that circumstances will probably work themselves out for the best is not an effective strategy. You need to rein things in. You need to guide things. You need to ensure that you're guarding things because there are many negative influences out there. So David HaMelech says, if you are mindful, mindful means you're guarding your mind. You've chosen to focus your mind. And that's how you start your day. He says, Oz kol hayayim asiyach bimrasecha. Then I know my discussions during the course of the day will be meaningful and uplifting. They'll be in your words. So the way to ensure a good day is to start off right. And that's how the Ma'am Loyaz wants to interpret and explain the words of Tehillim, David HaMelech's words here, and I think really also his modus operandi, his what he's seeking to do with Kidmu Einai Ashmurais, waking up, he says, opening my eyes in a guarded fashion. And this is fascinating, because there's a mimer from the Rebbe, where the Rebbe says something very, very similar. It's an edited mimer, an edited discourse, that was originally delivered by the Rebbe in the late summer in the year 1954. And the Rebbe, without mentioning this chapter of Tehillim at all, advances this very notion, as you'll soon see, in a carefully built rumination. This is like very, very much based on sources, and the Rebbe brings these sources together, showing you that how you start is how things will go. In the Maimer, the Rebbe says, and this is really in the middle of a subject, I don't want to belabor you with the specifics of the subject. It's actually about matrimony, this particular Maimer. But the Rebbe notes the notion that through prayer, proper prayer, a person is empowered to connect everything that he or she will come in contact in during the course of the day with godliness. He says, through the notion, sha'odam miskasher le'elekus, through this notion that a person is able to connect himself to God, this is the Maimer L'chadoidi Tavshin Yodalad, ba'oifen kozeh, in such a way, sh'mamshech le'elekus b'chol inyan av hagashmim, that because this person connects to Hashem in a very meaningful, personal, and profound way, he's then able to bring everything else into tandem with godliness. Or, you could say, to reveal the godly potential in everything that you come in contact with. Why is that? I understand that prayer is important, that it's nice that you start your day with prayer, but how does that necessarily manage your day? How does that ensure that everything else you'll do during the day will be successful in that sense, bringing forth the godliness in every element? Says the Rebbe, V'yuvanze will be able to understand this. And he adds in the brackets, understand what? Mashal yedei hatfila betchilas hayoim. The notion that beginning your day with prayer empowers you, b'yecholte lekasher, that only when a person prays first thing in the morning does he have the ability to connect all material things with God. La'aseisim kelim lelikus, to ensure that they are modified to serve as vessels, vehicles, conventions, and envelopes to reveal God in this world, instead of left to their own devices, conceal God. Because the world, naturally or organically speaking, is a reflection of its Hebrew term. The Hebrew name for world is olam. And olam is a permutation of the word helam, which means concealment. Left to its own devices, our world will not necessarily, or perhaps necessarily not, reveal the godliness and goodliness that's inherent in its creation. But if we choose to harness, if we choose to channel the things that we come in contact with, the world can and will follow its potential. It will necessarily reveal the pre-coded predisposition towards divinity and godliness. But the encoded or pre-coded disposition has to be revealed. It won't happen by itself. And it happens through the notion of starting your day with prayer. The question is why? It's nice to pray, but why does prayer, the beginning of the day, necessarily set you up for success all day long? The Rebbe says that this could be explained by virtue of a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov with regard to the halacha that says that one is not permitted to engage in she'ilat shalom, casual conversation, asking people how they are, kodem hatfila, before one prays. This is a clear statement that's made in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, and it is something that's ruled in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rebbe says the explanation for that is along the lines of a different teaching from a very different mystical sage and scholar, the lodestar of modern-day Kabbalah, the Arizal. And the Arizal says, commenting on the mitzvah called Kibud Ach HaGodel. This is a Gemara in Masechet Ksubot, in page 103. It speaks about the notion that we are required not only to honor our fathers, but also our eldest brother. And that's, says the Arizal, Mipnei deruchahu deshovek begavei, because the father imparts a greater measure, or a double measure, of his spirit into his firstborn. Shebeben ha'alef, that in the first son, Yeshruach ha'av yoyse misharabonim, the spirit of the father resonates more so than in the other children. And that's the reason that we find such an emphasis in Judaism on the firstborn. Disputes about firstborn rights and this, what they call the bechorah, the firstborn, the first one, the word for it, prime nature or something. There's an English word for it actually, but it describes this firstborn being predominantly directed towards replacing or serving as the successor. It's not different than the royal family. It's the elder brother who is the crown prince. There's Prince Harry, but then the crown prince is William because he is the one who is going to inherit the throne from his grandmother or his father. This remains to be seen, but he will, assuming that he's around, inherit that throne. So mitzad ruach ha'av, it's because the spirit of the father that resonates within the eldest son, that the eldest son is deserving of that respect from his younger siblings. The Rebbe goes on to say, quoting the Arizal, that this is the reason that we learn the halacha of respect for the elder sibling from the very verse, kabed et avicha, that there's an extra word, an et, And that's l'rabo, to include Och HaGadol. Now, the Rebbe brings these ideas together. The idea of the respect for the eldest. The idea of eldest sibling, that is. The idea of the way the Baal Shem Tov explained the Isser She'ilas Shalom prior to one engages in prayer. First you connect to Hashem, and then you connect socially to others. All of this, the Rebbe says, is k'moikin, so it is also b'nigei l'machshava dibur u'maisa shala odda b'meshach hayim. So it is also about the thought, speech, and deed that a person engages in during the course of the day. Shekulam mistafim v'nimshachar achar hadibur harishin. They'll all follow the first words. And that's why the first words and also the first thoughts and first deeds of a person when he immediately rises should be ba'avodas Hashem. So if you rise and the focus is on serving Hashem, the rest of the day will follow as such. David HaMelech was a busy man. The affairs of state occupied an enormous portion of his day. He also had legal responsibilities, serving as the chief justice of the Jewish people on the Sanhedrin. David HaMelech would prepare himself for a day in which he sought to elevate everything into a godly reality by rising early and by focusing on Torah study, which led him into prayer. And that, my friends, is something you and I can and should incorporate into our daily schedules. Well, we may not rise at midnight or perhaps even at dawn, but we should start our day focused on Avodat Hashem. And if you have to get to work early, well, you may have to follow David HaMelech's schedule. Because if we rise early in the morning and we focus on the pursuit of holiness, the study of Torah, L'Siach B'Imrosecha, or Kidamti B'Neshef, as we read in the previous verse, V'Ashaveya, and I cried out to Hashem, if we do that, it's not only filling that time with meaningful activity, it's not only transforming the night or sweetening its judgment, as we learned, it in fact is setting us up for success all day long. And so, early to rise will not only make you wise, it'll make you successful. For us, success is not measured by the size of one's stocks, bonds, portfolio, or bank account. For us, success in life is measured by living the kind of life, the kind of existence that is lastingly meaningful. And that's a life of Yiddishkeit. And that's a life of spiritual pursuit. And that's a life of closeness to God. And the best way to ensure that our day will go right is to ensure that we begin the day right, with the study of Torah, with prayer, by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we are able to move from Beit HaMedrash, from Beit HaKnesset to Beit HaMedrash. We can move from the notion of prayer into some Torah study, and from there into Haneg Behem Minig Derech Eretz, into a day that's filled with mission, meaning, and purpose. And if we start our day right, and we begin with the appropriate sense of mindfulness, and we can rule out forgetfulness, and we can stay focused, and we can make this world the godly and goodly place that was always destined to be, because living a life this way necessarily positions you to accelerate the universal process of redemption and to play your part in ushering in the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira ubi'ameinu amen.